I tell it like it is.
Joe Catanacci.
Moving into the final half hour of the show here this morning, we welcome in Yael Osowski from the Consumer Choice Center. He joined us weekly on Fridays to discuss some topics of interest. And with it being Friday and heading towards, happy hour in my mind, considering I'm up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yael, there's been a lot of news about booze over the last week or so, whether that be from the Supreme Court or towards alcohol-related laws here in North Carolina. How you doing this morning? It's great to have you on the show.
Joe, I'm doing super well. Very nice morning, and ready to get my coffee here and talk to you about all the great news that's happening for alcohol freedom in our country.
We love alcohol freedom. In fact, our first vodka distillery opened in New Hanover County just recently. Blue Shark Vodka. It's in local ABC stores here across the area because, of course, the government has to control our booze and sell it to you. And they tell you what days and times they can do that as well. That being said, the antiquated, outdated alcohol-related laws and heavily prevalent, of course, throughout the southern part of the United States. And this week, the Supreme Court handed down a ruling which affects people in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, so what we saw from the Supreme Court, and this is a decision in the Tennessee Spirits Association case, what the Supreme Court figured out is that the laws in Tennessee that require someone to be a resident for at least 2 years before they can open up any business that contains liquor or uses a liquor license is unconstitutional. So that means that anyone is free to move to Tennessee tomorrow from Wilmington or any other city and set up their distillery, set up their shop, their bar, their restaurant, and they're not going to have a residency requirement. Why that's important is because this is a precedent. It's not just going to be for Tennessee, and this is actually going to pave the way to allow this kind of alcohol freedom across the U.S. So this is great news for any distillers in North Carolina who are looking to expand. It's great news for consumers who like these new products, who like new tastes, who like all the great things that are coming out of these great innovative companies. So there's going to be a lot that's coming down from that, and I think it's very exciting. And we're going to see a lot more probably in the next year when it comes to opening up how much alcohol you can order online, what you're able to ship to your house, and hopefully one day have some competition with the state-run liquor monopolies like we have in North Carolina. So all that is coming down the line, and the Supreme Court at least is giving its opening salvo for freedom in this area.
Yeah, Yael Osowski with us here this morning. And in your neck of the woods out in Charlotte, of course, the Republican National Convention is coming to the Queen City next year ahead of the 2020 election. And Republicans are, I guess, lobbying Mecklenburg County and other surrounding counties to extend the hours in which they sell alcohol. Right now it's, 2 o'clock in the morning. They want it to go to 4 o'clock in the morning, only during the Republican National Convention. That being said, I know and have been told and have tried to live by it. Nothing happens good after midnight, but you're saying that why not to have that freedom all over the state to allow establishments to stay open?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of message does it send about any kind of modernized alcohol policy if we're only willing to change our laws and make them more up to date for the 21st century when there's a party in town? What it's written right now is essentially that last call would be extended to 4 a.m. for not just Mecklenburg County, but also Cabarrus County, Rowan County, anywhere where potential delegates would be staying during the RNC in August of 2020. Now, the thing is this is just giving the prerogative to business owners that they can open their bars or restaurants until 4. Doesn't mean that everyone is required to or has to. They just no longer would have this 2 a.m. limit. And if anyone's been to any large cities in the Northeast, you have these more liberal rules that allow places to be open later. You have to think about the expansion that you have, not just for economic spending, but also just consumer behavior. People are able to stay out longer. They don't have to rush and chug their beers and head out the door. You actually have more drunk driving rates because of that. So if you allow people to stay in, if you allow businesses to be open longer, they're not only going to be serving customers, but hopefully keeping people off the roads as well. There's a lot of benefit to that. Unfortunately, it seems that the Republicans just want to pass this when their buddies come to town. Ideally, they would do this for everyone, and we wouldn't have to continue to have these punitive alcohol laws that were essentially written right after 1933. So if we can get a modernized alcohol policy, I think that's going to be better for everyone, all the people who like their beverages and enjoy them responsibly.
I know we have and have had this conversation plenty, but when it comes to the ongoing battle, as we've seen craft breweries across the state kind of rise all over the place, we've got, I want to say, 24 of them right here in Wilmington alone. That being said, you know, there's been a lot of animosity, I guess, between some lawmakers who, of course, you know, have their pockets padded by, you know, distributors here in the state. And, you know, as far as the sale of these craft brews, and particularly some of the bigger ones out in Mecklenburg County, the Red Oak by Elon and around those and those types of facilities. Is there ever going to be some type of limit? Or actually, they did in fact make some adjustments to that recently through the legislature.
Yeah, what they have allowed now is they've removed the cap at the number at which you are able to self-distribute. So you as a brewery at the Joe Catanacci Brewery, you're able to basically distribute as much beer as you want personally and on of your own recognizance and in your own business. Previously, you were required by law to use a middleman, to use a wholesaler, who would then be responsible for shipping it to the Harris Teeter, to the stores around the area, to the Publix, to Piggly Wiggly, to whatever store where you're sending your beer or your alcohol. So what that cap removal does is it really allows for an expansion of businesses. I know breweries are very excited and a lot of consumers are excited because then it's easier for us to access the products that we really like on that one trip that we made to the Outer Banks and we enjoyed a beer, or we found a great White Zombie Ale in Asheville and we think it's amazing and we want to have more at home. You're going to be able to find that more now that these companies are going to be able to self-distribute. So it's just a very small win. And that, along with being able to finally buy alcohol at sports stadiums, which I know you've covered. I mean, I think these are small wins. I think there is something for people to get excited about. Of course, we're not talking about trillions of dollars in the American economy, but we are talking about people's freedom and their everyday right to just sit down and have a beer after a hard day's work. And I think that's what everybody deserves.
Yael Lisowski with the Consumer Choice Center with us here this morning. All right, as you kind of hinted into the next topic, well, related to, of course, the sale of alcohol, specifically beer and wine. We saw a bill signed into law this week by the governor that, as you mentioned, expands the opportunity for public universities to sell beer and wine at their sporting events. And I told the story, of course, of going to places like Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill, and you go use the restroom, and you know, the cans are totally filled up with empty plastic airplane bottles, and I don't know if that's going to still rid the market of that. There's always going to be people trying to snake the system, but this is a good thing, you think, as far as having that ability? You're saying that's going to be a huge revenue stream, and you're gonna be able to tax it, and more money coming into the coffers.
Well, let's just get it out of the black market. You know, whenever you have the black market, who knows what people are selling? Who knows what people are getting in these airplane bottles or anything else? The more that you're able to put this out into the open, the more that it's transparent, the more that people are able to use credit cards and able to dispute charges, that's just better for everyone. Nobody benefits when you have the black market except the black market dealers. I think that's going to be best if we have an open legal regime where you're able to purchase your drinks, you're able to do it from a reputable vendor or seller who's got a license, who's got a permit. As much as I rail against permits and licenses, I think it's important that there's some clarity. Consumers need to know what they're buying and who they're buying it from, and I'd rather they do it in the legal open market than in the black market where there are things that we just can't control. So overall, very good news for anybody who's going to be visiting a football game here very soon.
Yael Lisowski with the Consumer Choice Center. Yael, how can people find out more about what you do and what your organization does on a daily basis?
Well, you can check us out, consumerchoicecenter.org. We're very present on not just Twitter, Facebook, and all the rest. We're on Instagram. And we're fighting these legislative battles, not just in North Carolina, but across the U.S. and around the world. So we're in Canada, Europe, parts of Latin America as well. I have colleagues who are doing what I'm doing and speaking to the Joe Catanacci of Brazil as often as we can to try to promote consumer choice. So follow us there. And if you're interested, support our mission. And let's make sure that we got more consumer choice, more freedom, and we can all live better lives.
I think as we look forward to maybe next week's conversation, we can have a discussion surrounding access to healthcare, in that, you know, the president, along with Even here in the state of North Carolina, we have a state treasurer who has been pushing for more transparency in the way hospitals bill people, and we see these hidden fees and these surprise numbers that come out as far as bills. I think as you talk about consumer choice and transparency, that'll be a good conversation to have for the next time. So do your research, and we'll be questioning you next week.
Yes, sir, Joe. I'll be ready for it. Thanks a lot.
ConsumerChoiceCenter.org is the website. Yael Lisowski works with the Consumer Choice Center. He joins us every Friday during the third hour of the show. We're going to take our final time out here, moving towards the top of the hour, 14 minutes, in fact, in front.